Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to In Search Of. We're your host, Ashton
and Sam.
We're two accountants who binge podcasts by day and TV by night. Keep listening to find what you've been in search of. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Ashton.
What's up?
Not much.
We're a little tired today. We had a work event last night, which was fun. Shout out to Inflammo and Drew.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Celebrating us. We had like a little staycation at a hotel in Nashville called The Joseph. Sam did not stay.
Listened to previous episodes, you know why.
Yeah.
I do not like public space.
It was a nice hotel, if you're into hotels, but yeah, Sam is not, so she did not stay, but we had a good time. So
I met the producer of this podcast.
Yeah, you did.
The first time.
Yes, she met Jake, my husband, for the first time, which is kind of funny that y'all hadn't met yet, but you know, that's how things go now. No one leaves their house.
Yeah, everything's remote.
Yeah, which I think you and I might take this remote, try to record. Maybe we can like record ourselves like My Favorite Murder does. You know, like now they like, have you seen like they record themselves and they have it's like the Zoom call basically.
Okay.
And that's their recording. But anyways,
yeah,
like we've said, we might show our faces one day. Just not today. So this episode is different. We're both covering like original, just stories that aren't being covered by a podcast that we know of. I mean, some smaller podcast has covered your story. There's got to be something that's covered my story. I would be shocked if not, but it's just not like, you know, the big popular ones.
Yeah, we're
see.
Not really like reviewing or recommending a podcast.
We're just telling a story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And these are two Tennessee cases, and I feel like we kind of just started with Tennessee because we live here, so we kind of know more of what's going on. But I'm excited to talk about this because like I feel like I really did some good. I mean, your story you kind of already knew about. Mine I like really did research on it. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it. So
yeah, I got a little preview of it last night.
Oh,
you
yeah.
were telling Ray. So
yeah, I was
like, Ashton's ready to go.
I am ready to go.
So you can go.
Okay, I'll go first. So my story or my case is on Holly Bobo. So before I get into what happened to Holly Bobo, just a little bit about her. So at the time she was this crime took place in 2011. So at the time she was a 20-year-old. She was a nursing student at University of Tennessee, and she was from Darden, Tennessee, which is like an hour and a half west of Nashville. I'd never heard of it, but just a small town not far from here. And her obituary states that she loved animals. She was caring, loving, and kind, and she sang in the church choir. And I saw where singing was in her family. She was related to country singer Whitney Duncan, which I don't know who that is. I don't listen to country, so.
I do, and I don't know.
Okay, I was about to say, I don't know. But anyway, so what happened to Holly Bobo? On April 13th, 2011, like this seemed to be a normal morning at their house. Holly's mom and dad had already left for work, and Holly's brother was still sleeping. And Holly was supposed to be like going to nursing school that morning. And her mom had received a call from a neighbor that had heard screaming. And so her mom, Karen, called home, and Holly's brother picked up the phone. And he had just woken up from their dogs barking. And he said that Holly's car was still in the driveway. And then again, like I said, she was supposed to be at school. So her mom at this point knows something's wrong. So she then calls the cops, but ends up calling the cops like from the wrong county. So it's just kind of a mix up. And her brother Clint then looks out the window, and he sees his sister talking to somebody in camo and assumes it's her boyfriend Drew. But Drew was actually hunting that morning on some of their family's land, the Bobo's family's land. And Karen calls back, and Clint says he sees Holly speaking with Drew, but she's like, no, that's not, like, I know that's not true, because he's hunting, and I think he had talked to them that morning, so like kind of confirming that that's what he was doing. So she tells Clint to get a gun and shoot the guy, which I was like, dang, like she just gets right to it. But I did watch a video of like some of the trial, and she had said she just like had an instinct, and you know, it's maybe like that mother's instinct. So then Clint, he's like not ready to grab a gun and just go shoot this guy. So he tries calling Drew and Holly, but neither answer. So the next thing he sees is Holly and the man disappear in the woods. And at that point, he decides to grab the gun. When he does, when he goes outside, he sees a puddle of blood by Holly's car. And then not long after this, the cops showed up and the search begins. So, I mean, like, you hear the stories of where things don't happen soon enough, and you're just like, you're wasting time. So it's kind of frustrating that like they were so on top of it at the time, but
and they watched her walk away.
Yeah. And you're probably thinking to yourself like, okay, what the heck is up with the brother? Which he seems a little sketch, but we'll cover some more of that later. So anyways, the next day during the search, the cops found Holly's lunchbox, a piece of paper with her name on it, like they thought maybe some homework, and a pair of woman's underwear. I don't know if they ever like confirmed that was her underwear. After the search, the case went cold, and they did question a local man named Terry Britt. He lived near the Bobos, and he was a registered sex offender. He had been interviewed, and his home was searched, but no charges were ever brought against him. And there was actually one former TBI employee who did think that he was the prime suspect. And I think he actually, like, they made him leave the force. Or there was just, like, a big disagreement because he was like, I can't work on this case because I think y'all are doing it all wrong. Like, I think this guy is the suspect. And he thinks that because he matched the description that Clint had provided to the police, which was 5'10 to 6 feet tall and 200 pounds. And the people who were ultimately convicted for the murder, like, do not fit that description at all. So 3 years later, the cops turned their focus to two brothers, Zach and Dylan Adams. They were also interested in their friends, who were two cousins named Shane Austin and Jason Audrey, I think is how you say his name. These guys ran in a rough crowd. They bought and sold drugs, and in parentheses I said meth, so the bad
that
stuff.
Drug
yeah, the hard stuff. Two other guys in the group that were questioned and charged, but the charges were eventually dropped, were Jeff and Mark Piercy. So basically there's like six guys, and ultimately, three of them get convicted and charged. So we don't know why the cops turn their focus to Zach and Dylan. And this is like where it gets really hard to understand like this case, because there was no connection between them and Holly. Mm-hmm. So, and there was like no DNA or anything. So this was all like eyewitness statements, and just speculation, but some suspect there was a connection between the Adams and Holly's brother, Clint. They think maybe a drug deal had gone bad and Holly stepped in the middle. People are suspicious of Clint's actions that morning, but he was questioned by the TBI and cleared. So, you know, but I don't know. I just, that kind of seems more to make more sense to me than just like, I mean, she had a boyfriend. It's like there was no connection between her and right. these people. But anyways, Dylan Adams was arrested on weapon charges. And so when he was arrested, they brought him, you know, they brought him in and then they started questioning him about Holly. So like, we don't know why when he was arrested on the weapon charges, like they decided to question them about Holly. But he said that he saw Holly alive at Zach's house with Jason. And so this is kind of where like this all goes down. He stated that Zach was wearing camo shorts and that they had raped Holly and videotaped it. The cops searched for this video and this led to the arrest of Jeff and Mark, but the charges were later dropped. So during the police investigation, Dylan also incriminated Shane Austin, Jason's cousin. And Shane, at one point, had agreed to show the police where Holly was for immunity, but he took the police to an empty patch of land, and he ended up killing himself after the police revoked his immunity. So there's just, like, a lot of just weird stuff going on. And so, you know, the question is, like, what evidence did the police have against Zach? And Zach was the main suspect. So they have Dylan's confession. There's also been issues with Dylan's confession because there's some say he had a learning disability and some say he didn't.
Okay.
So they question like, okay, was he
coerced?
Yeah, into making this confession, because at the time, like, the community was, it was a small community and they just wanted an answer.
Yeah.
So, and you know, cops do that sometimes. They incriminate the wrong person just to like make everybody happy.
Resolve it.
Yeah. And there's also like politics involved. Like if you're coming up for, what is it, when the chief of police, I don't know, all that stuff. Yeah. So they had his confession. They had a jailhouse snitch, which we all know like jailhouse snitches are like not what you should be basing your testimony or your defense off, whatever.
Yeah.
So while Zach was in prison, he supposedly told his cellmate the following, "I'm not worried because they got no body and they got no gun." So that's basically what he said. Jason also, this was a big thing. Jason testified against Zach as a key witness. So like their whole thing is Dylan's confession, the snitch, and then Jason's, which all of these guys, I mean, besides the jailhouse snitch, but like, he's not the best character, but like, oops, all these guys were doing drugs and just like, you know, like their memory, these stories, you're like, how is this very reliable? But his confession was much different than Dylan's. He said he went to Zach's to buy drugs. When he got there, Holly was already dead, wrapped in a blanket. Jason helped Zach get rid of the body. They were going to dump her in the Tennessee River. When they got there, Jason says Holly began to moan, and at that point, that's when Zach shot her. So in 2017, two hunters found human remains that were later identified as Holly's. The hunters found a bucket with contents, and the contents have never been released, so we don't know, but nearby that were Holly's remains. So I don't know what would be
if the bucket wasn't her, because they found her remains.
And so that might just be something that they're keeping private in case someone else
knows.
Yeah,
the one person who knows what that is has to be connected.
So she did have a gunshot wound in her skull, so that is, I mean, it does tie back to like his what was said.
Yeah
and she was found 10 miles from the Adams property, so you know, it's, I don't know. It's just, to me, I feel like there's just wasn't enough evidence to put those guys in jail. I think the biggest thing for me is like DNA. And like, if you don't have DNA, it's really hard to convince me otherwise. After the trials were done, Zach Adams was charged with first degree murder, kidnapping, and rape. He pled guilty on all charges and was sentenced to life in 2017. Dylan Adams pled guilty to murder and kidnapping. He'll spend 35 years in prison. And then Jason, charged with solicitation to commit murder and facilitation of especially aggravated kidnapping, he accepted a plea deal and was released in 2020, spending only a couple years in prison. So also, it's like the first guy who talks to is going to get like the best deal. Right. So the guy probably just thought like, this is my way out.
Yeah.
So if I just wrote a few notes, like problems with this case, like no DNA evidence, all circumstantial. It was, I said this earlier, but you know, Dylan was stated to have a learning disability, maybe
coerced.
This is going to turn into like a English pronunciation podcast, into a confession. And then, you know, was Jason a reliable witness? It was mentioned he was on drugs that whole day. So like, you know, was there, you know, what was the connection between Zach and Holly? What was the motive? You know, people still suspect Terry Britt. And another issue was, it was a small town and the judge knew the jurors. So like there was, at one point, like the judge was talking to the jurors about like a football game and like getting them tickets to the football. And it's like, you just can't have any of that. It just creates bias. Mm-hmm. And then Holly's mom also passed out on stand and like while telling her story. Mm-hmm. And some people just thought this was, they thought it should have been overturned at that point because it would be hard for jurors not to feel sympathy for her, mm-hmm. for a grieving mother. So, you know, they're going to want to just put away anyone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that, I mean, they found people guilty. They're spending time in jail. So Holly's family might be satisfied and think, okay, like that's who did it. But I think there's a lot of people who still question a lot of things on that case. So
yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know all that.
Mm-hmm. It was, yeah, I mean, it was, there's a lot more to the story, but all my sources that I used for this, just so we're, you know, got our butts covered, was the Wikipedia, obviously. And then this article written by Amy Lemoreux, it's called All That's Interesting Article, or All That's Interesting. Yeah, that's what it's called. And then Holly Bobo's obituary. And then there was, I really liked this. So if you're interested in this case and like want more information on it, there is a Law and Crime Network YouTube video called The Holly Bobo Case. And that kind of provided a different perspective for me. And I really liked watching that video. So if you want more info on it, you can go there. And now a word from our sponsors.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That was good.
Thanks.
Mine is, I don't want to say it's a crime because I don't know, but it's more of like a mysterious death. And this is of Lauren Agee, and she was my childhood friend. I met her in the third grade, I believe. We were on a dance team together. And then when I was going into sixth grade, my family moved. So I met her here in Nashville, and my family moved back to Chicago. And her mom was our realtor and decided that she actually wanted to buy our house. So they moved into our house. Lauren moved into my bedroom. And I left for 4 years? And then I came back. My sophomore, my junior year of high school. And I was on then the high school dance team also with her. So we were friends for like 10 years or something like that. So Lauren was like, I want to say like wild, but that sounds bad, but she was just like, she was so outgoing and like life of the party and like so funny. And she was like loyal to like almost a fault. Like you did not mess with Lauren or like anyone that Lauren was friends with. But when she was, this happened in 2015. So she would have been, I don't know how many years ago was that, like 5, 6, 7. So she was like 20. I can't count, but I'm an accountant. She went to Wakefest, which is in Smithville, Tennessee, and it's on Center Hill Lake, and it's like a wakeboarding competition, but it's really just like a party weekend. So it was July 24th, 2015, and it was a Friday, and she drove down with her friend Hannah Palmer, who I was also friends with. Like, we went to each other's birthday parties, like, all that stuff when we were young. So she and Hannah drove down, and they were meeting up with Hannah's boyfriend. His name is Aaron Lilly, and Aaron's friend, Chris Stout. So they drove down on a Friday, and there was, like, surveillance video at a local bar in Smithville on Friday, and they were out until like 2 a.m. and then they went back to their campsite, and their campsite was like on the side of a cliff, and this cliff was like 90 feet to the water, so it was like really high up. And they like set up a hammock like right up on the edge of the cliff, which is dangerous but like does not surprise me at all. Like, well, that is
20,
something
you're 20, you know, you just don't think about those kind of things. You're, yeah, just like, oh, this will be cool.
And that is like Lauren, she is a daredevil. Like, she would do anything anybody like dared her to do. So that is where they set up camp. And so Friday night was the last time she was seen, and then Sunday morning, two fishermen were fishing on the lake, and they spotted, like, they didn't know what it was, but they came upon Lauren's body. So Lauren's mom's name is Sherry, and she had been trying to reach Lauren, like, I think on Saturday, like, all day Saturday and Sunday, and like hadn't heard from her. Texts called, didn't hear. And then once like Lauren's body was found, and you know, the people she was with were contacted, Hannah said that all four of them had gone to bed, and like in the middle of the night some of them woke up and like realized she wasn't there. But like, it is very much like Lauren to like go off and like meet somebody else and like just not disappear. But like, there are so many people who are like camping at Wakefest that like, if you like go to someone else's like campsite or something, it's like makes sense. So they just suspected that she had gone off to meet somebody else, and that she would be back. Well, obviously she didn't come back. And so they got up, you know, in the morning, and Lauren's shoes and her keys and her, or not her keys, but her wallet, and her phone were still, like where she had gone to bed. So that was really strange, especially for her to not have her phone. Like, she always had her phone on her. So Sherry didn't think that that made sense, that like they would realize like she's missing and like under weird circumstances and not alert the police. They did not call the police. They only found out, well, Sherry only found out that they knew that she had been missing for like a day and a half, like after Lauren's body was found. So, Sherry was really suspicious. So, the day after, or maybe it was on Sunday, the day that Lauren was found, Chris had posted a picture on Instagram, and like it was like a selfie of him and Hannah and Aaron were in the background, and he originally posted best weekend ever, and this was after Lauren's body was found. And then he later changed the caption to say like, had a really awesome weekend, Wakefest 2015 went great or something. And Sherry's like, my daughter died. Like, yeah, why
are you saying that it went great?
Yeah. And so all of this was like, she was like, something is like not adding up. This is not right. So Hannah and Aaron moved to Florida, and Sherry hired a private investigator named Sheila Wysocki, because the county sheriff just ruled it an accident and like did no investigation. And Sherry's like, I don't think that's right. So she hired Sheila Wysocki, who became a private investigator after like her college roommate was murdered, and she kind of helped put the pieces together with that. But she's done a lot, and there's a 2020 episode on Sheila Wysocki and Lauren Agee's case and one other case that she worked on. So Sheila, and
she made the podcast too, right?
Yes. So yeah, it's called Without Warning, and it's like several parts, and I think now there's more episodes that are like not related to Lauren's case, but
cases,
I think it began with Lauren's case. So she hired, I'm trying to pull up the name of like the person who actually does it, like the professional, but she had someone,
commercial break.
Yeah, we'll have to cut that out. That'll be where our ads can go.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, back on track. So she had people come out to like the cliff where her body was found, and they figured out that like the way the current was flowing, that if she fell off of like the steep side of the cliff, which makes sense, like if you fall 90 feet, like you will probably die. Like it's likely that she could have been killed that way, that her body couldn't have drifted to the spot where she was found, because like the 90 foot side was like the far side compared to where her body was found. So it would have had to like go around the cliff and like way back. And then the other side that's close to where her body was found, it was only like a 30 foot drop. And so like the state that her body was found in, like a 30 foot drop wouldn't have caused it.
So they're thinking maybe something happened before.
Yeah. So like a fall off either side wouldn't make sense for her death, for her body to like have naturally gone to where it was found. And then like on the 2020 show, there's a guy who like throws a dummy that was like her height and weight like down the cliff, and like it doesn't ever land in the water because it gets stopped by like trees and the brush and like all this stuff that's like on the side of the cliff. Because the story then after the three of them saying, oh, we thought we went off and like we had no idea that she like fell or died, they then started saying, well, I mean, she probably like got drunk and fell down the cliff.
So like the story kind of starts to change.
Yeah. And so they're testing, okay, could she have gotten drunk and fallen off the cliff? And well, where, like I just explained about like the water and like the sides of the cliff, that doesn't make sense. And her body had no like scrapes, which it's so like wooded and like weeds and stuff that like she would have had scrapes if she fell just straight down the cliff.
So it's like they're kind of thinking something happened to her before and they like threw her off, pushed her off, whatever. Like maybe she was not dead or like almost dead, mm-hmm. you know, and then they yeah. pushed her off to make it look like
yeah
she had fallen in.
Yeah. So the autopsy on her body showed that she had hemorrhaging in her neck, which is like a sign of strangulation. Mm-hmm. And she didn't have any water in her lungs, so
which is like what happens when you drown,
right? Like yeah. if she had fallen off the cliff and like dropped into the water while she was still alive, she would have drowned and had water in her lungs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she was dead
before she got fell in the off. Water.
Yeah.
And fell.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Sheila, her suspicion was that Lauren was fighting back against something, like she had gotten in a fight or was like fighting off something and had like blunt trauma to her head, like someone hit her in the head, like not falling and hitting her head.
And that did show up in the autopsy, mm-hmm. was trauma to her head.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess one way or another there would have been if she fell or
got hit.
Yeah.
So there was also a photo that was taken from the medical examination that showed like a very distinct triangle on her abdomen, and it was like a perfect triangle. And I can't remember who said this, but whoever was talking about it said that like if you are a fisherman or a canoeer, then you know that is like the exact like triangle of the tip of a canoe. And oh. It would have gotten there. So the thought is that after she died, she was laid face down on a canoe, and like the lividity of like how your blood pools, mm-hmm. when you die, it mm-hmm. pools like obviously on whatever side is like your bottom, mm-hmm. wherever you're laying. And so the blood pooled in like this triangle and left the mark. And so the thought is like they laid her body on this canoe thinking it would drown her, and her mm-hmm. body would like fall to the bottom.
Or like they put her in the boat and like swam out, or like rowed
it out. And yeah.
To make, yeah.
So, I mean, if that was the motive, they wanted it to make it look like she died on her own in the water, or it just would like push her body away. I don't know. But I don't know why. So the detective that was on this case had never been trained or investigated a homicide before. So he really had no experience. So after Hannah and Aaron move to Florida, Sheila drives down to interview them. And there's a little video of Hannah being interviewed, and they're like taking a break at the time.
Oh, I remember this.
But she gets a call from Aaron, and she's like, she's crying as she's like talking.
So Aaron and Hannah
are
to get
boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah.
They moved down to Florida.
Okay. Yeah. And so mm-hmm. he's not there at the time while she's right. doing. Okay. Yes. Yeah, I remember this from the podcast.
Yeah. It's just Hannah sitting there, and she gets a call from Aaron, and Sheila is like certain that Aaron says stick to the story. Because she, you know, I don't know if Hannah, I think Hannah would have to know that she's being taped, but I guess she doesn't think like anyone can hear it, because I don't think Sheila's sitting right there with her anymore. But I mean, this is just like further fueling the idea that like there's some
Something's
sort of cover up
yeah.
happening. So Sherry had filed a wrongful death suit, and some other things that like went wrong with the investigation was that there was no rape test done on Lauren, and there was no DNA collected from her body. So again, it's like without DNA, it's like it's just so
really
hard to say. And originally the judge dismissed it like right away and cleared everyone from the Fifth Amendment, I guess. But that's been overturned for Hannah. I don't think like any more like interviews or anything have taken place or anything else like has happened in court. Since it was overturned for Hannah, but she and Aaron are still in Florida, and I know Sherry, part of me is like, thinks like, well, you know, like maybe I guess kind of what happened, and nothing will bring Lauren back, but you know, I also understand wanting to know
what happened
mm-hmm. And why and who and how.
Well, and if you're a mom and your daughter dies and you suspect that there's foul play, like you want to like, you want to know that for your daughter, and you want to, like, bring justice for
her. Yeah, because right now, no one is being held responsible. And she had a tattoo that said, like, breathe. And our dance team, so every year following, the Hendersonville Golden Girls have Breathe stitched into their competition outfit, like, somewhere every year.
Oh, that's cool.
And I know a lot of my friends have gotten, like, the same Breathe tattoo, that she had tattooed on them. But it's very surreal because, like, I have, like, old pictures, and for whatever reason, they'll, like, pop up on, like, Facebook or something, and Lauren will be in them, and it's, like, weird to, like,
kind of takes you back.
Tell myself that, like, Lauren's not here anymore.
Yeah.
And, like, when I think about, like, her in my room and her family still in my house, and, like, the 2020 interview, they interview in, like, our old living room and kitchen and stuff like that, and it's just
like, very close to home.
Yeah.
Literally. Like,
yeah, literally, yeah. In my home. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was an interesting case. I remember when you and I became friends, and we became friends over all of this stuff, and somehow we got on the topic of, like, what interest, like, what, why did we start into this?
Yeah.
And mine was that I was just a weird kid who watched I Survived on TV, and yours was a more personal thing for Lauren. So, you know, if people can judge me for my interest in it because I have no good back reasoning. You have actually good reasoning. But, yeah, I think that's it's a hard story because it doesn't make sense. And you're just like, it just sucks sometimes when, and that's kind of like with Holly too.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe her family is satisfied, but I know, like, a lot of the public isn't, you know, like, cause some people, you know, it's just like, everybody just wants justice and they just want to find out, like,
yeah,
you know, we put the right people in jail. But, I thought that was, I remember when I first started listening to the podcast, I don't even think you know this, but I, like, wakeboarded growing up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when it was, like, Wakefest,
yeah,
and them going to, like, a wakeboarding competition, I was like, oh, I didn't even know that happened here. But yeah, I wakeboarded, like, my whole life. And I can't do anything cool, but I mean, I can get up and, like, jump wake to wake.
Yeah.
But I was in a competition one time when I was a kid. Yeah, I don't think I placed.
I was just going to ask.
No, I really was, like, the bear man.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought that was ironic because, like, it's like, of all the places, a wakeboarding competition.
It's very, like, I don't think I even knew what wakeboarding was until I came here. It's pretty popular because Hendersonville's on the lake. And, I mean,
yeah,
Center Hill Lake is not obviously.
And where I live in Louisiana, my parents live on the lake now. But, like, growing up, we would always go out to that lake.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, if you don't have a lake by you, or if you live in Chicago.
Yeah, I was not. You are not wakeboarding in, like, Lake Michigan.
Yeah. But I thought that was just, like, interesting thing because I always forget that there is still water here in Tennessee.
Yeah.
I feel landlocked, but then I'm like, oh, there are still, like, lakes and we're not a totally just dry area. Yeah. But well, that was good. I think that's a really good story. And if you want to listen to the podcast Without Warning, it's a very, like, in-depth, I mean, she goes through, like, every single interview call,
yeah,
like, every single thing. She's got the recordings.
Yeah, that was one of my, I have to cite my sources, it was Memory and that podcast. Uh-huh. And there was one I was just trying to pull up. It's called Chilling Crimes. It's a blog, which I mean a lot of times they're, like, very, like, amateur, but I feel like this one is pretty pretty good and in-depth. So
yeah, well, hopefully, I mean, people who listen to this, maybe it will bring more attention to both of these cases, and you never know. I don't know, I think it's important to hear this stuff, especially for, like, Lauren's case. It's important to talk about it and to get people interested in it, if the right people aren't, you know, being prosecuted for it. So anyways, that's all I got. I don't have anything else.
No, we were talking about that nurse, so that might be, yes, like, an we might do like an episode on like nurses or something.
So background on that, I don't know if you followed our Instagram because we have shared some stuff on it, but there's a Vanderbilt nurse here that is on trial right now and I think was found guilty, but I think she's waiting to find out like how much time she spends. But she, I guess, made a mistake in the dosing for a patient and the patient ended up dying.
Yeah, she overrode the system and pulled out the wrong drug, which to me feels intentional. Like if you had to override the system to get the drug out, then wouldn't you know? But I don't know how that works. Like, I would like to get an opinion.
Like, I need to talk to one of my best friends is a nurse in New Orleans. I need to ask her like what she thinks. Cause I know a lot of nurses have come forward because they're like, we can't be prosecuted every single time we make a mistake.
Right. Like human error. Like if I went to jail for all the mistakes I make in my job, oh boy, life sentence.
Literally we would be like on death row probably.
Right.
So yeah, that's an interesting case. And that kind of goes back to the serial killer story that I told with the nurse.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it can happen. I mean, people, right. But again, if it was a mistake, how do you handle that mistake? So maybe we'll talk about that, but we'll have more episodes like this. We're going to kind of incorporate them with we're still going to do our in search of recommendations, but this is just more, it's fun, I think, for us to do this kind of research and to bring attention to maybe some cases that aren't, haven't been covered by some of the bigger ones. But anyways, that's all I got. She wrote. I don't know what that's from.
I think it's like a really old movie or something.
Okay. Anyways. All right. Bye, Sam.
Bye, Ashton.
Thanks for listening to In Search Of. Don't forget to review, subscribe, and follow our podcast to stay up to date on the latest episodes.
If you want more information on In Search Of, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.